So if you'll pick up reading with me in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 51. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Now, Paul often talked about the Christians that died as being asleep in Jesus. So he's talking about folks that that would die, that would breathe their last breath on earth. He said, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." May God add His blessing to the reading and preaching of His word. Paul said in the earliest part of this chapter that the death, burial, and resurrection was the gospel. That Jesus died, and that He was buried according to the Scriptures, and that on the third day He arose. That is the message of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins, He was buried for our sins, and He arose for our justification. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the hinge point of Christianity. If there is no resurrection, we're wasting our time this morning. I'm wasting my breath this morning. We've just wasted the last 20 minutes singing praises to a Savior who does not exist. If there is no resurrection of the dead, the Apostle Paul said, you are yet in your sins. Our faith is vain. My preaching is vain. All that we're doing here is vain. Without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christianity is just another religion. And we're no better than Buddhism. We're no better than Hinduism. We're no better than Islam. We're even no better than atheism if Jesus did not rise from the dead. It's the hinge point. It's the door that Christianity swings on. Without Christianity, without a resurrected Christ, Christianity is just like all the other religions of the world. They all end at a hopeless tomb. Now, in spite of what anybody wants to tell you about afterlife, if somebody hadn't been there and came back, tell us about it. If somebody hadn't proved that there's life beyond the grave, then the grave is a hopeless place. But Jesus proved that there's life beyond the grave. He proved that death has no power over Him. He proved that death is not the enemy that cannot be defeated. Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. And He has proven to you and I and to all of His creation that death has been conquered. There's more proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ than there is any other historical event in history. And I say that without any apology. You believe a lot of what you believe about history because of the eyewitness accounts of other men, not because you've seen it, but because you heard it and believed it. In fact, you can look at most of what you believe on Facebook and see on Facebook and believe it to be the gospel. That's the truth, and most of it's a lie. A lot of it's a lie. But listen to me, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on a cross, that He was dead on a cross, and that He was buried, and that for 3 days He stayed in the tomb, and on the third day He rose, is a historically documented account. There is no other more documented account in all of human history than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those men that testified of it lost their lives because of their testimony. They could have preached anything that they wanted to preach about morality and keeping the law and doing good, and they would have lived their lives in relative freedom, but they would not give up the fact that they saw, that they, John said, we didn't just see Him, we heard Him, we touched Him, our hands handled Him after His resurrection. He's alive. Amen. Hallelujah, He's alive. The resurrection is the heartbeat of the gospel. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel. It is what motivates the church. I believe that life does not end at the grave. I believe that every one of us in this building will live forever somewhere. And the basis of where you live forever is determined by what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ now. You can say, "Thy will be done," and let the Lord have his way in your life, or the Lord will say to you, "Thy will be done," and you get the consequences of your rejection of God, which is an eternity separated from him. The resurrection is not only the heart of the gospel and the motivator of the church. In fact, I'll tell you this, I pray this in all sincerity. When God, my motivation, my message, my reason for living is to tell people Jesus died for you, he was buried for you, and he rose again for you. That's the only reason I have to live in this world right now. And when God is through with me, when my purpose of sharing that gospel is done on earth, I want him to take me home. That is my motivation for living. Now, there's a lot of things I love about life, and there's a lot of things I love about my family, and I enjoy. But I'm being honest with you and truthful. This is a temporary existence. We're just pilgrims passing through. This world is not my home. I am going to a home that will never fade away, that'll never be defiled, that'll never be corrupted by sin, where I will live with all eternity with my Savior. That's a message worth sharing. It is the anchor of our soul. In our text today, Paul pointed out some rewards of the resurrection. Specifically for believers, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection has brought to you, has brought to us certain rewards. And I just want to rehearse those three rewards with you this morning. Actually, we'll close it up with four, which is more of a, because of these rewards, here's what you need to do. And the first one is this. The first reward of the resurrection is the transformation of all believers. The Apostle Paul said this a couple of times in that text, "We shall all be changed." And let me tell you, the reality is, as a Christian, it's not a "we shall be changed," it's "we have been changed," "we are being changed," and "we will be changed." I want you to understand that by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been changed from rank sinners to redeemed sons. He has started a work in us that he has promised he will finish. The great transformation, it's not something that we got to wait on. It's something that occurs the moment we trust Christ for our salvation. It begins on the day that we turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "I believe you lived a sinless life and died a sacrificial death and rose again victorious on the third day. And I confess you as my Lord. I ask you to be my Savior." And immediately the Bible says something happens inside of you. You are born again by the Spirit of God because you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter said that because of that, we have been begotten again. We have been born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That transformation takes place beginning immediately when we trust Christ for our salvation. The penalty of sin is broken. The power of sin in our life is broken. And one day, ultimately, the presence of sin will be removed from our lives and our influence forevermore. Understand that we are a three-part being. And this will help you understand a little bit about where Christians are today. By the way, if you want to judge us as being, or judge yourself as being just as good as we are, you may very well be. And I understand it's a shame, but the Bible tells me that I am a child of God because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that my spirit has been justified. It means that I have been, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been made right in the sight of God. and that God doesn't look at my sins anymore. He looks at the Christ that paid for my sins. I have been made right in the sight of God, and His Spirit has taken up a residence inside of me, and is in the law of God, the Bible says, is written in my heart, is written on my mind. I can't do the things that I used to do and not feel the guilt and condemnation of that sin in my life. He gave me a new want to because His Spirit is inside of me. I have been justified. I am right with God. God approves of me. God has called me His own, as He has every believer that has trusted in Christ. We're justified in our spirit. Not only are we justified in our spirit, but our soul is being sanctified by Him. With the living presence of Christ in me. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives in my heart. The way that I know that is because I can't get by with the things I used to get by with. Without feeling His conviction. The reason I know that is because He motivates me to do things that I would not normally do in my natural self. In fact, I'm up here speaking to you today. I never gave an oral book report in school. If I had some school teachers here, they'd testify amen. I can write you a 10-page book report and get an A on it. But as far as me standing up and orally talking to anybody about a book I read, I took an F on it and asked for extra credit. I'm not one that speaks in front of a crowd. I've never been one that wanted to speak publicly. But listen, when God saved me, He justified me in my spirit, and He put a new song in my mouth, and He is sanctifying me by His presence within. There are things I used to do that I can't do anymore. There are things that I used not to do that I want to do now. Why? Because He lives in me. What does it mean that my soul is being sanctified? It means that my mind and my emotions and my will are being conformed into the will of God for my life. Now that's a process. It's an ongoing process. God ain't finished with me yet. By the way, God ain't finished with you yet. God, we all works in progress. But spiritually, we stand before God justified. We are right with God. Spiritually, we're also being sanctified. He is transforming our mind, transforming our will, transforming our emotions, growing us daily into the likeness of Christ. Not only has my spirit been justified, not only is my soul being sanctified, but my body will be glorified. See, we are spirit, soul, and body, and God ain't finished with us until it's finished with us. Until our whole person is transformed into the image of Christ. I can't wait to get my new body. That don't have any more aches. No more pains. No more blood pressure problems. No more sickness. No more disease. By the way, this is a subject for another day, but take a look at Jesus' resurrection body. It's a cool body. It's an incredible body. It's a strange body. It's not something like you and I have been accustomed to. Look at it when He appeared to those disciples in the upper room. They didn't open the window or the door for Him. He just appeared in the midst. And they thought they had seen a ghost. And He said, "Oh, I'm not a ghost. I'm very real." He said, "Touch me. You can't touch a spirit, but touch me and see. This is real skin. This is real flesh. This is real bones. Touch me and see I'm alive. I'm physically alive, and this is my glorified body." Now, I don't know what all that means, but I like to speculate sometimes what my glorified body is going to look like and be like. But I know this. It will not be subject to the curse of sin anymore. It won't ever hurt again. It won't ever grow old again. It won't ever deteriorate again. It won't ever fall down again. It'll be standing up all the time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Gravity just taking over right now, but one day that's going to be reversed completely. I don't know what we're going to look like. Hey, we might be all kind of sizes, but my cousin Ray said he's going to be tall and skinny when he gets to heaven. He ain't never been tall and skinny on earth. I don't know why he thinks it's going to change when he gets to heaven, but... You want to ask me how I know He lives? Because I have been a personal witness of His transforming power in my life. I'm here to tell you this morning, if God had not saved me when He saved me, I'd be either in prison or dead today. My marriage would be over. My relationship with my children and grandchildren that I love so much would be non-existent. He transformed my life, starting on the inside and working himself out. And he's still doing it today. And he'll finish that work one day when my body is glorified and standing in his presence. Which brings me to the next point. Resurrection's reward, not only the transformation of all believers, but the transportation of all believers. The Apostle Paul said, it's a mystery. Not all of you going to die. Everybody going to be changed. That starts on the day that you're born again. It ends on the day that you stand before him face to face in the glorified body. That occurs when we're transported from here to there. That's when we get the new body. In a moment, the Apostle Paul said, this is going to occur. Now, the transportation of all believers happens one of two ways. Either by rapture or by resurrection. But it's coming. Now, I don't know when it's coming. But everywhere I read in the scripture, it says how it's coming. Quickly. In a moment. The Apostle Paul said it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Just wink your eye at me, wink at me. You're gone. We're out of here. Now, listen to me. The Bible says that one day, either by rapture or by resurrection, that every believer on this planet is going to be suddenly caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, you can believe that or not believe that. In fact, I'm not going to tell you have to believe that in order to be a Christian, but I believe the Bible says that over and over and over again, that one day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, either by rapture or by resurrection, you are going to leave this world in your body and stand in the presence of God in heaven. He is going to transport you there. The Bible says it's going to happen. Paul enumerated this more in 1 Thessalonians. He said the Lord God is going to shout and the voice of the archangel is going to speak and the trumpet of God is going to sound and the bodies of saints that are sleeping in their graves are going to leap from the graves and meet their spirits in the air and dwell with the Lord forever. He said, those that are alive and remain, those that have not died, those that have not been buried, are going to be drawn to Jesus in that same instant and be transformed and put on a new body. One guy said, it's going to be like metal shavings to a magnet, son. We going up. Now, I got a good friend don't believe in the rapture. There's a lot of them around. They believe in Jesus. They're saved. They're Christians, but they don't believe in a rapture. They just believe that God's going to slowly usher in his kingdom and transform us. And I don't have time to get into all that kind of theology. But the reason people reject the rapture is because it's too supernatural for them. It almost sounds science fiction. It almost sounds like beam me up, Scotty, don't it? Now, some of y'all ain't never watched Star Trek, don't know what I'm talking about. But here's what the Bible says, that I am going to one day stand in my body in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to be transported from here to there. Now, I don't know why rapture is so hard to wrap your mind around. If you can believe in a resurrection, why can't you believe in a rapture? Because them bodies that are laying out there in those graves right now have returned to dust. But when the Lord shouts and the archangel speaks and the trumpet of God sounds, that dust is going to come back together just like it did when God created the first man. And he's going to form it again in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and breathe life to it. And it's going to heaven. It's coming out of that grave. Now, if you don't believe that, why you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? If Jesus come out of the grave, me and you's coming out of the grave. That's what the Bible says. And if he can resurrect my old dead rotten body, I feel sure he can take this body on to heaven and transform it on the way. Don't you? Paul said, either way you look at it, we're going to be changed. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, we're going to stand in his presence in a brand new body. By the way, this ain't just a New Testament teaching. Job is known to be, Job is believed to be the oldest book in the Bible. Or let me take that back. The earliest book. Job probably fits in there. If you looked at when Job lived, he probably fits in there before the flood happened to the earth. Now, how the story of Job was written, it was probably rehearsed to Moses by God. But way back, way back when death had entered the world, and way back before Jesus ever come forth from the dead, and Job was going through hell on earth. Y'all know the story of Job? I ain't never met one woman in my whole life told me that Job didn't have nothing on her. I'm telling you, Job had a rough life. Job wished that at one point that he had never been born. His life was so bad. But in the midst of his sorrow, Job said this. I know, and I'm paraphrasing him. He said, I know one day that I'm going to die. And my body's going to be laid in the grave. And worms are going to devour it. Now that ain't a pretty thing to think about, but the flesh is going to go back to the dust. But then Job turned right around and said, but yet I know this, my Redeemer lives. Now at that point in time, Jesus hadn't come to Bethlehem. He had died on the cross. He hadn't resurrected. But Job knew that God had made a promise that there was a Redeemer coming that would set them free from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the presence of sin. And Job said, I know that even after worms have devoured my body, I know that in my flesh I'm going to see God. I'm going to stand in His presence in my body, not somebody else's. I'm going to see Him. I know that my Redeemer lives. And because He lives, I'm going to live. Brethren, I'm going to heaven one day. Not as some kind of ghost. I'm going to heaven as a real flesh and body, spirit, and soul, full, complete man like God intended for me. And if you are a believer, you're going to in a resurrected or raptured, changed, transformed body, mind, spirit, soul. We're going as a whole person. Now, if I didn't believe that, the grave would be a hopeless place for me. In fact, I read this text a lot at the gravesides of loved ones. You think about how hopeless it is at that cemetery. I watched my mom lay her sister, my first cousin lay her mom to rest a few weeks ago. I never get over this. By the way, let me tell you something. If somebody's dying without Jesus, I don't care how bad they're suffering. It is not good for them to go without Jesus. There ain't no suffering that a body will go through like the suffering of being separated from God for all eternity. Lost people do not rest in peace. Listen to me. Lost people do not rest in peace. The Bible says that there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But when you know Jesus as your personal Savior, the moment that you draw your last breath on earth is your first moment in heaven. I watched my first cousin get right down her mama's face in the last hours of her life and said, Mama, go home. I'm going to tell you, boy, I can't hardly imagine doing that with my mama, but I know where that comes from. That is the blessed hope. That is, the grave is not the end. That is, when I breathe my last breath, I do not cease to exist. Over and over, she told her mama, Mama, just go home now. We okay. We'll see you soon. And listen, when they close that casket for the last time and you standing at the graveside of your loved one, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you ain't got no hope.
But because Jesus did rise from the dead, you can walk away from that body in the tomb and go have a potluck supper in the social hall and say, bless God, I'm going myself one day. I'd like to be standing out there in that cemetery when the trumpet sounds. I would. In fact, I used to go out there and weed eat. Bless Donald. Thank God for Donald Davis and his weed eating crew, boy. But when I used to be out there weed eating while I was watching for that big coach whip coming, I'd think, well, what a good time for the Lord to come. He's down here in the cemetery with a weed eater. I'd get around old Billy Hughes' grave and say, son, if you come up right now, I got you by the heel. And the Bible said we ain't gonna precede them, we ain't gonna be ahead of them, but we ain't gonna be far behind them neither. You say, preacher, you really believe that with all of my heart? If I didn't, I'd be in despair. Because I done said goodbye to a bunch of people I love that I anticipate I'm going to see them again. I believe like a butterfly sheds its cocoon. One day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to shed this sick and diseased and suffering body and put me on a new one. Y'all know I usually preach in jeans and a shirt, and some of you said, y'all look good. You look good this morning, preacher. You dress up nice. And I'm thinking some of you hinting I need to dress up more often. But I'm telling you, you ain't seen nothing yet. When he gives me my new body, you're going to say, boy, you looking good today. Transformed, transported, and here's the last point, actually next to the last, the triumph of all believers. Victory in Jesus. Sin and death fully, finally completed. The battle is over. Done. Finished. We fought it. We finished it. We get the crown. Why? Because of what Jesus did. Because we trusted Him. All the saints of God get to stand around the throne of heaven. John got a glimpse of it in Revelation chapter 7. He saw a huge multitude of people in this vision, and they were surrounding the throne. They were dressed in white robes, and the angel said, John, you know who these are? John said, I don't, but you do. Now, it's my paraphrase, but the angel said, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And they made them white by washing them in His blood. Now, that's me and you. You know who John saw around the throne? If you're a believer this morning, John saw you. John saw me. John saw us. He said it was from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every kindred, from all over the face of the earth. They stood around the throne and they began to sing a song. Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And then all of the angels and the elders agreed with them in verse 12. And they said, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and forever. Amen. And the Bible said in Revelation chapter 21 that God's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes, and that every need that we have will be met, and every hunger that we have and every thirst that we have will be quenched. Praise God, the tomb was empty, but heaven won't be. There's victory. There's triumph. The war is over. The presence of sin is gone. The Bible said this about heaven. There shall in no wise anything or anybody enter into it that loves a lie, that makes a lie, that loves wickedness, that loves sin. Sin is shut out from the presence of heaven forever. I don't have to deal with its penalty. I don't have to deal with its power. I don't have to deal with its presence. I have triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. Paul said, which giveth us the victory. So, let me ask you this morning, do you know anything about resurrections, rewards? Do you know anything about it? You say, what do you mean, preacher? Are you experiencing the transforming presence of Christ in your life? Because here's what the Bible says. I talk to people all the time, says, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe who He is, and I believe what He did. But there ain't no evidence whatsoever in their life that Christ has done anything for them. That's inconsistent with what the Bible says Christians are. In fact, the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. Are you experiencing the transforming presence of the risen Savior in your life? Paul said it like this in Romans. The same Spirit that brought Jesus from the grave lives in us. My friend, if Jesus lives in you, there's going to be a change. Are you anticipating the transporting power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, listen, I talked to a lady one time, a young lady, and she sat in our church service about every Sunday, and she said, I tell you what, every time you start talking about the Lord coming back, it scares me to death. In fact, Jesus said, hey, you better be ready because you don't know what hour I'm coming. I can come any hour. In fact, I'm coming in the hour that you think least. He said, like the lightning shoots across the heavens, one day the Son of Man's coming. And she said, every time you preach that, it scares me. And I'm like, why does it scare you? Because I don't tell you, it don't scare me. I'm looking forward to it. I'm anticipating it. I want Jesus to come. I look at the world that my grandchildren are growing up in, and I want Jesus to come. I look at how the direction this planet is going away from God, and I want Jesus to come. Now, I want everybody to be saved, and that's why I'm still preaching the gospel. I want every knee to bow and every tongue will confess. It will one day, but one day it's going to be too late for it to make any difference in your eternity. But are you anticipating Jesus coming? By rapture, by resurrection. Now, I'm not scared to die. You say, you ain't been there yet. I ain't been there, but I've been with a bunch of people that have been there. I've seen some of them that had a few moments of anxiety, and then I've also seen the Spirit of the Lord move in and say, it's going to be all right. I don't live every day of my life worrying about dying because Jesus got that taken care of when it happens. And when my breath leaves my body, my spirit stands in His presence. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. Are you enjoying the triumphant provisions of every day having victory and every day longing for the day that the battle's finally over? Because listen, I fight a battle with sin in my life every day. You do too. But one day, the battle's going to be over. Right now, I'm amazed that I can win any victory over it. It's only by His presence within. But one day, that battle's going to be over, and I am enjoying right now walking day by day in the victory that He gives me. If you don't know about any of those rewards, maybe it's because you hadn't yet come to the realization that the resurrection is reality, that it really did happen. And you denying the resurrection happened is as foolish as you denying the Revolutionary War existed. We're free in America today because men fought and died and gave us this freedom, and the Revolutionary War is documented historical proof that we have what we have. And I'm telling you, I'm free as a child of God today. I'm free from the penalty of sin. I'm free from the power of sin. I've experienced transformation in my life because Jesus did something for me, and then He did something in me, and He's still doing it in me. The evidence of the resurrection is indisputable. You can dispute it if you want to, but you're a fool to do so. The Apostle Paul, writing this letter, saw Jesus at some point, even after He ascended back to the Father. He said, I saw him as one born out of due season. And he even said, I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body, but I just know this. I saw the one that was crucified, resurrected. I had an experience with a risen Savior. And that transformed me. One day I was killing Christians, and I thought I was doing God a favor, and the next day I was a Christian. How are you going to deny that? Jesus got a hold of Paul. It cost him everything. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. It cost him his relationships with those religious elites of his day. It probably cost him his family relationships among the Jews. It cost him eventually his life for the cause of the gospel. But why? Because he believed, he saw, he touched, he handled. You say, well, preacher, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Well, believing in the resurrection and not bowing your knee to him makes it even worse. I believe who he is and I believe what he did, but I'm not giving my life to him. That's more foolish than not believing it. The last point is that we ought to consider. The Apostle Paul finished all that statement about the resurrection, which is every bit of chapter 15, because Jesus rose. Because you're being transformed, because he will transport you, because one day you will have the ultimate triumph. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. The therefore of all believers, because of what Jesus has done for us, let's be steadfast. Let's be steadfast in our faith. Let's stand on what we believe. Let's proclaim what we believe. Let's not move away from what we believe. Listen to me, I know people look sideways at you when you start talking about rapture and resurrection. It don't matter. God said it. I ain't got no problems with anything. The Bible, God can do anything he wants to do anytime he wants to do it. He spoke this world into existence. Listen, he spoke a word and brought the planets into a line. He formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into him. I ain't got no problem what God said he's going to do, he can do. Be steadfast, solid, anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be unmovable, unchanging, unwavering in your commitment to love him and to serve him. Be always abounding in the Lord's work. Because listen to me, at the end of the day, that's the only work that's going to make it to heaven with you. All of the things that we do here on earth when we die, when we left somebody else, they're going to rot away. Jesus said, what you do for my sake, when you lay up treasures for the kingdom's sake, they'll meet you there. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord, because the labor that you do in Christ is never in vain. In Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, and we ought to live this life in such a way that other people see Jesus in us. That's the message of the resurrection. Do you believe this? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that, then you need to act on that. You say, preacher, I don't know how to act on it. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do it right here, right now, this morning. Faith is simple. I believe in God. I believe God. I'm willing to live my life in accordance with what God said because I believe it. That's all faith is. If you take If God's dealt with your heart this morning, say, "Preacher, I'm tired of living with this uncertainty about my future. I'm tired of living without the hope of heaven. I'm tired of living. I'm not knowing whether my sins are forgiven." If you are convinced this morning that Jesus is who He said He is, and that He did what He said He would do, and that He rose from the grave victorious, all you've got to do is place your faith in Him this morning by calling upon His name. The first real step of obedience you take is to walk through a baptismal pool. Why? Because that baptismal pool represents Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection. It also represents for you your death, your burial, and your resurrection. It's your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, would you come this morning? I'm going to ask Christy to come and let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the resurrection power, for the resurrection promises. The Bible calls Jesus the first fruits of those who sleep. He is the one who rose first from the dead, but He's not the last. He rose never to die again, and one day will rise never to die again. I'm grateful this morning for the resurrection. At the same time, I believe there are people in this building this morning that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never experienced that transformation that begins in their spirit, that moves through their whole being and changes their life from the inside out. They're afraid of death. They're afraid of the grave. They're afraid of what lies after that. They don't know what it means to triumph over sin, to have victory over it, or even to have the hope of being delivered from it. And I pray this morning, if those people sitting in this building this morning have felt the touch of Your Spirit, I pray that they would just simply respond by stepping out of the pew where they are, coming down and bowing, not at my feet, but at Your feet, Lord Jesus, and calling upon Your name for salvation. You'll do exactly what You told them. Every believer in this house this morning has done that in some way, shape, or fashion. We have found an altar to bow and say, "Lord, I am a sinner. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. And You alone can save me. I surrender, I submit, I trust You. Forgive me and cleanse me. And give me a home with You in heaven." Lord, on the basis of the promise of Your Word, anybody in this building that's willing to do that this morning can have their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and have a home with You forever. I pray, God, that You would move in this invitational song and do whatever You want to do. God, I know there are a lot of Christians in this place this morning. Because of what You've done for us, God, we ought to be zealous, steadfast, unmovable, abounding in Your work, because it is the only work that will last. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I serve